Introducing Tools for Living Your Fullest Life. This is Life's Toolbox with Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio. Now, here's your host, Kenny Brixey.
Welcome to Life's Toolbox, where each week we discuss tools that will assist you in living an empowered and an authentic life. I am Kenny. Thank you so much for listening in today. It is no secret that I am a huge fan of bonding with nature. We talk about connecting with nature frequently here on the show. Nature is a tool that I use to find centeredness, calm, peace. When it seems that life is not giving me much to hold in gratitude, nature shows gratitude-worthy things everywhere I look. All I have to do is open my eyes. The trees, rivers, oceans, animals, skies, sunrises and sunsets, as well as the moon and the stars, all offer so much to the life that we live, and we just simply have to choose to see it. My guest today, holds a belief and a connection with nature that will benefit us all in many ways. This belief runs deeper than just a simple love for the outdoors. It is a connection on a spiritual level. My guest is Noelle Itzy, and she teaches that within each of us is the capacity to connect with nature, the universe, and our higher self. She says, through the eyes of nature, one is made privy to the profound goodness that pervades all that exists and coexists. Noelle is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, author, speaker, award-winning graphic designer, and a renowned nature journalist, and this is a hyphenated word that I'm sure I'm not saying correctly. She captures contemporary visual reality with her camera and combines wildlife anecdotes and facts to encourage every person's potential to connect with and preserve nature. Her passion for nature and wildlife photography stems from her research and study of the wisdom in the animal world, animal symbolism, and animal totems. Noelle also endeavors to discover the extraordinary within the ordinary, right in our own backyards. Her book, The Hummingbird That Answered My Heart's Calling, is a testament to the power of nature and its ability to teach, heal, and reconnect humans to their true human nature. This book is filled with 40 full-color photographs with a custom-designed book cover and interior pages. To her delight, a segment on the experience, on her experience with Artemis, the hummingbird, was featured in the United States Humane Society publication, All Animals. But Noelle's commitment to nature goes well beyond her work as a nature journalist. She is leading a crusade to recognize and protect the four power pollinators: bees, birds, butterflies, and bats. And I can tell you, folks, after a few minutes talking with her about this, I was sold on the importance of this. So please stay tuned and listen in. As the pollinator queen, she is a special advocate for the pollinators, offering advice on how to build a hummingbird-friendly backyard habitat, ways to give back to the bee nation, and methods for protecting and supporting these essential creatures that are critical to our food chain. Noelle's immediate focus is the bee population, which has been decimated by a mysterious die-off not fully identified by scientists. Her goal is to help people see bees for the valued partners that they are: harmonious, integrated, unified creatures working tirelessly for the greater good. She unceasingly works to educate as many adults and children as possible using her company, Benevolent, as a tool for funding more research to serve and give back. Noelle perceives the loss of any aspect of nature, a spiritual loss, as well as a natural one. She spreads her message by spiritual pollination. Noelle has a beautiful story to tell, and I am so pleased to have her here to share it with you. I know that my appreciation and respect for nature blossomed massively, even further than it ever had been after just a few minute chat with her. Please help me welcome to the show Noelle Itzy. Noelle, welcome, and how are you doing today?
Oh, thank you for having me, and I'm doing wonderfully this day after Earth Day 2014.
I know, the timing's perfect, isn't it? And spring is in the air, all kinds of good stuff happening.
Yeah.
Well, Noelle, to get us started, I would love for you to share your story, the beautiful story of you and Artemis, the hummingbird. And, you know, kind of fill our audience in on what was going on in your life when this journey took place?
Well, the genesis of the experience was during the market crash of 2008, and I was pretty much in a position where I felt like I had the world in the palm of my hands. I had just started my own company. I left the corporate world and the security of, you know, a 9-to-5 job to pursue my passion of being an entrepreneur, and had purchased my own home a couple of years prior. And, you know, I just felt like everything was really going well, and I was now, you know, fulfilling my life's work. And then the market crash hit, and like everybody else, you know, I started to wonder, you know, what this meant for me personally. And so I was inundated every day with the what ifs as each person down my street, you know, had a foreclosure sign up in their yard, and you know, their vehicles were suddenly gone, and they were gone, and people were losing their jobs. My parents lost, you know, half of their retirement. I started to become very, very fearful. And every day it was, you know, what if I lose my home? What if I lose my client base, my job? What if I have to move back in with my parents? What if, and these what ifs turned into a physical manifestation of panic attacks. And the first time I experienced a panic attack, you know, I didn't know what it was, although it did feel like I was having a heart attack, you know, coronary, you know. And so, of course, I went to the ER, and I saw a cardiologist after that. The ER doctor informed me that, no, I wasn't having a cardiac arrest, but I was having a panic attack, and the symptoms can mirror that, and, you know, to some degree, it's very frightening. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to go see my doctor afterwards, and just to make sure, you know, I was okay physically, he said, you know, the good news is panic attacks, anxiety attacks can't kill you. And if you're open to it, there are pharmaceutical drugs, you know, we can put you on an anti-anxiety medication. And, you know, that was all fine and dandy, but at that time in my life, I wasn't prepared for that. I really just wanted to figure out the inner journey. Something was affecting me in a way it hadn't done before, and I wanted to heal naturally. And so, you know, when I left the doctor's office, I thought about this for a long time, and, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to try to figure out where this is coming from. I understand the mind-body connection. And so I made a commitment to myself that before I started work each day, I would go out for a walk when it was quiet, when there wasn't a lot of traffic, because I lived in the city, and I would just meander through, like, the woods, or, you know, the areas where there were lots of trees and open space, and I would just pray, and pray for healing, pray for wisdom, pray for understanding. And I remember specifically saying to myself and, you know, God or the universe, I am willing to learn. I am open and receptive to whatever it is I'm supposed to learn from this experience. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about it is it wasn't some awful, scary lesson, you know, where it's like that hammer over the head. It was a beautiful hummingbird that decided to nest on my balcony, the most gentle aspect of nature, you know, bird life unfolding. That was the answer to my heart's calling, the answer to my prayer. And so that's where the journey began. 2 weeks or so after I started my prayer vigil in the morning, I went out to my balcony one afternoon, and there she was.
Wow. Well, yeah. I have to mention, as you were telling the story, a hummingbird showed up in my hummingbird feeder for the first time this year, just this minute.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, there are no coincidences. I know this means something, but I had to share that with you because I knew it didn't mean a lot to you.
That's wonderful. Wow.
Well, cool. Well, how did you... And I may be jumping ahead of you here a little bit, but how did you come up with the name Artemis, and how did this story continue for you?
Well, you know, as we introduced ourselves, if you will, I know that when I discovered the nest initially that afternoon, the moment I went out there and saw the nest, Artemis wasn't out there. the nest was just sitting there empty, but there was something that I knew I had to wait, you know, so I thought, well, I'm going to sit out here for, you know, a little while and see if there's a bird attached to this nest. And sure enough, you know, there was, and it was this beautiful little hummingbird. And when she flew back to the nest, the first time I saw her, she had, you know, all of these spider webs in her beak. So she was still in the process of constructing the nest. She hadn't laid her egg yet. And so when she settled in after she, you know, extracted the webs from her beak and placed them just so in the nest, she actually settled into the nest for a little a rest. And that's when we sort of met eye to eye. And so I just kind of quietly introduced myself and said, you know, hello. And she wasn't afraid. I there was no intimidation on her part. She was very comfortable with my presence. And so I just kind of stayed out there a little bit longer. And then each day I went out there and I observed more and more and more of this life unfold, where she would build the nest and then she laid her egg. The egg hatched. She had her one nestling instead of two, which hummingbirds usually lay two eggs. She just had one. And I, you know, followed this beautiful journey for 3 months. Well, a couple weeks into it, I remember sitting on my bed and I could see her nest from my bedroom and I could see her nest from my living room because the balcony was attached to both those rooms. But I remember being in my bedroom, you know, one early evening, and I could see her in the nest. And I thought to myself, you know, I feel like I have a relationship with this bird now. And I remember looking out at her and like telepathically saying, who are you? What's your name? You know, I think I should have a name for you. I feel, you know, we're developing a really close bond here. And so I remember having this deck of goddess cards. I used to like to, you know, read about the different goddesses of different cultures and all that. So I remember thinking to myself, well, I know for sure that she's a goddess of some sort. She has that goddess energy, but who is she? And so I got the cards and I shuffled them and I'm looking at her and I'm like telepathically saying, what's your name, little bird? Who do you want me to know who you are? And I pulled the card Artemis. And interesting enough is my ego's attachment as I was shuffling the card kept thinking, well, she's probably Athena. She's probably, you know, one of those beautiful, you know, physically beautiful goddesses that, you know, everyone talked about and worshipped and so on and so forth. And the card Artemis came up and I thought to myself, oh, isn't that funny? I've never even heard of the goddess Artemis. And so I looked at the photo on the card and it was this sort of tomboy looking goddess. She had short hair and she had a bow and arrow in her hand, and she had all of these animals and creatures at her feet, almost like what you would think of Saint Francis of Assisi. And I thought, wow, well, Artemis was the goddess guardian of nature, and I didn't know this. So I read about her, and she was the protector of the natural world around her. And I remember reading specifically, it said she has a bow and arrow, but she doesn't use the bow and arrow to harm anything. She uses it as a tool to stay focused on her life's mission and her life's goal of being a faithful steward to animals, creatures, and the natural world around her. And as I watched this little hummingbird through the process of building, architecting her nest, you know, laying her egg, nurturing her baby, sustaining her baby, teaching her baby, you know, the lessons of hummingbird life so it could fledge successfully. She was absolutely a guardian. She was fiercely independent, and she was this goddess without question. So that's who she became, Artemis.
Wow. I love that story. Now, how did you relate that back to what was going on in your life? I mean, you had this powerful little journey happening there that, you know, for many people would have been really easy just to watch this amazing unfolding. Mm-hmm. But it did relate to you on a deeper level.
And absolutely.
How did you connect that, and what was that experience?
Well, I think, you know, it wasn't a connection. Like, this definitely changed the trajectory of my life and of my life's work. But at the time when it began, I was more, what I looked at it on the surface was, wow, isn't this the most beautiful distraction to this life of living in the, you know, fast world, everything's moving and there's so much adversity going on. And, you know, the market crash, I was still kind of focused on, you know, I'd still go into a moment of, ooh, am I going to be able to make it? And then, but the thing was, is she was such a beautiful distraction to my daily life of, you know, potential worry, that eventually the greatest part initially was that I realized that my anxiety had completely dissipated. So before I knew it, as a couple weeks in, maybe about a month, I was saying to myself, you know, at a traffic light where a lot of times that's where I would have an anxiety attack, go figure, you know, the most inopportune times, I would say to myself, oh my gosh, I haven't had a panic attack in a week and I'm sleeping through the night. I don't have the insomnia. I'm not waking up gasping for air because, you know, my body is going through some stress thing while I'm asleep. Mm-hmm. And so really initially it was, I'm the connection with this bird has taken me on a physical healing journey. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, and then retrospectively, I realized that this was a huge spiritual journey for me, an emotional journey that took me to a completely different place of gratitude and feeling humble and feeling totally connected with everything around me. Because this was the smallest bird, and it is the smallest bird on earth, the smallest bird known to man, and yet her power was so large, her energy and her life force was so large that it humbled me in such a way that I felt honored to be in the presence of this beautiful thing unfolding. But at the same time, I felt honored that I am on this planet as a mutual guest as everything else. These creatures and the trees and the oceans and everything that are so energetically powerful and beautiful, I am in the same living energetic space as them. And how wonderful is that? I am part of that and it is part of me. So that's where it became so much bigger, such a bigger picture than just this wonderful physical healing journey, which, by the way, I mean, I can't say out there to everybody, hey, go in and connect with nature and it will heal your ailment. But for me in my life, it healed me. Mm-hmm. And so there is a potential out there, a huge potential.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that what you experienced is something that we all can experience. Nature gives us a tool that invites us to slow down, to connect with something outside of us and just be. And when we do that, the stuff that's going on in our life shrinks.
Right.
Because we spend so much time focusing on what's going on in our life that it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Right. And what you experience calls you to slow down and appreciate and connect. And you just had a very beautiful journey. It's amazing. Yeah. And I think that's available for everybody if we just slow down and allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the greatest lessons was, because people will say to me, well, you know, where did you live? Did you live in some, you know, beautiful rural open space? And no, you know, this isn't something that is just privy to someone that lives on a farm, mm-hmm. on some beautiful bluff. I mean, I was living in the city. I was in a condo. But I think that what people can connect with when they think, oh, something like this couldn't happen to me. Yes, it certainly can, because that's what it was meant to be for everybody. But the key is to be authentic and sincere in your heart about wanting to connect in a deep, profound way with the natural world around us. Like when you walk into a room and you meet someone for the first time, your intuition tells you that either they're being authentic with you in your communication, or if they're not. And usually, if someone isn't, you automatically put up kind of like a shield so that, you know, you have your boundaries when you don't feel like someone is completely honest and authentic and sincere in your conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nature's the same way. Mother Earth is the greatest, has the most profound intuition, you know, of this planet. So when nature knows that you have an authentic heart, when it feels your real desire for connection, it will open up to you in ways that you would never imagine. But it's intuitive, and it will know when you're being sincere from your heart, or when you're just saying, oh yeah, I want to connect mm-hmm. with nature. That sure would be nice. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You allowed yourself to be vulnerable to allow something in, and you had a beautiful experience come in. Now, I know that your journey did not stop there. Can you tell us what other projects are in the works as a result of this journey that you just had, that you just spoke of?
Well, I really started to hone in and focus on the pollinators, you know, and how incredibly balanced they are in their ability to give and receive, and therefore nature is perfect. I mean, it doesn't get thrown off by a market crash, or it doesn't lose its groundedness by, you know, some adversity. So this bird, as I observed her over the months, I realized that, you know, every time she came back to the nest and her beak was full of pollen, she was receiving the life-sustaining nectar for her and her baby, but at the same time, she was equally giving back through the distribution of the pollen that would fall off of her beak that would proliferate new growth. And I thought, God, it's just perfect, perfect balance, these pollinators. And I remember hearing something about the bees and colony collapse disorder, and this was something that was sort of discovered, if you will, in 2006 in the UK, whereby they were calling it the vanishing bee syndrome, and bees were just dying off suddenly and overnight for no reason by the millions. I mean, 60 to 100% of hives were being reported as just simply dying off, not returning to the hive, dying off out in the field during foraging, and then leaving the queen and the drones and the larva to die. Because the worker bees, the foragers, are the ones that bring back the pollen and the nectar to create the honey that they survive off of. And so I started just doing a little bit more research on, you know, our pollinators and their role. And, by the way, every power pollinator, so I focus on four, the birds, the bees, the bats, and the butterflies. Every single one of those creatures in our ecosystem are being threatened in some way or another by the human hand. And I thought, this is getting critical. This is going to be, for selfish reasons, going to affect our food supply. But for spiritual reasons, and what you noted when you introduced me, is that any loss of the natural world around us is an indicator that we are losing touch with our connectedness with the goodness of the aspects of the earth. And we can't let that happen.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's not just a food issue. It's a spiritual issue.
This is such a huge, huge topic that I want to go ahead now and invite you to come back and we spend a show and talk about the importance of these pollinators, because I don't want to shortchange you on this subject, but we are out of time. Unbelievable.
Okay.
So
no problem.
I would love to invite you back and we'll talk about scheduling. But before we get out of here, I want you to take advantage of our guiltless self-promotion moment and tell our listeners how they can find out more about your work, how they can connect with you, that way they can continue this information until you get back to us.
Well, you can go to my website. You can order the book from my website, which is www.benevolent.com. You can also reach me through Facebook or Google+ or LinkedIn. That will also take you to my website. And you can also purchase the book through, you know, the typical channels of Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so on. 10% of the proceeds of the sales from my website go to the Pollinator Partnership, which is based out of San Francisco, California, which does a lot of research on the pollinators and, you know, focusing on that part of our ecosystem. So, you know, that's a good aspect of buying from the website. But, you know, these are critical critters, you know, in our ecosystem, mm-hmm. and we've got to look out for them.
Yeah, they should. We sure do. Noelle, thank you so much for bringing this to us and being here on the show. Everyone, please, please, please connect with Noelle and stay in the loop on all the fabulous work that she is doing. My deepest gratitude goes out to Brent Carey for creating this amazing resource for empowered living called Empower Radio. Also, thanks to Matt back in the studio for producing the show today so you can share in this awesome wisdom from our guest. Please tune in to the other wonderful shows here on Empower Radio. I know you will find at least one that will speak to your heart. And then turn around and share Empower Radio with your friends. Help spread the positive side of life. Until next time, embrace your connection to nature. Thanks for tuning in. Love and peace.